The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode 19, Superman and the Numbers Racket. Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Ed, and 1,000 miles over there to my left is another host, Mr. Stephen Orr.
Hiya.
So this is the part where we normally banter for all of those that are not in the know.
I had, you know, I had some banter prepared for the last two episodes.
We've been bantering good. Okay.
Here's what I'll say for our banter section. Since we determined earlier on in the show, in an earlier episode, that one of the in the handbook to banter, one of the key subjects is weather. It has been so flippin' humid. It's been humid in Kansas the last couple of days. Yesterday, I posted a screenshot from my weather app that said it was 90 degrees, which isn't too awful, but because of the humidity, it felt like 102.
That's awful.
Today, it got up to 94, 95, but I never posted the screenshot, but I took a screenshot, and it, with the humidity, felt like 100 and I want to say 17.
No.
Let me look real quick. I guess I didn't take a screenshot. It was over 110. I know that.
Goodness.
And you step outside even for a moment and it's just sweat city. And all we have is this, it's a nice window unit air conditioner, but right now we just have the one. And on days like this, that poor thing struggles so hard to keep on.
It's screaming like a car in first gear going 80. Wow.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I think the tweet I'd put up yesterday showing that screenshot, I said, when you hear people say it's not the heat, it's the humidity, this is exactly what they're talking about.
This is it.
Because sometimes I'll put a screenshot of my weather app up that'll say that it's 99 degrees, but it feels like 100. And a lot of reactions I get are, why do they even do that? Just put whatever it feels like, that's the temperature. And it's like, normally I would agree, but when it's like a 10, 15 degree difference because of the humidity.
You need the lower number just for peace of mind.
But then you want the higher number so you can show people how much you're suffering.
Right. That's like in the winter, you know, wind chill. I'm not outside in the wind, but it is still this other number in this house.
Yep.
So you need that other number.
Yeah. All right. Banner concluded. Chung chung. I need to get that Law and Order sound. Just start putting it in there.
Put it in. Have it ready for that. Yep. Yeah. Do, 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 do. All right, today we're looking at Superman and the Numbers Racket in Action Comics number 16. This was written for us by Jerry Siegel, penciled by Joe Shuster, and inked by Paul Cassidy. Action Comics number 16 is published by DC Comics and has a cover date of September 1939 with an approximate sale date of August 1, 1939, according to Mike's
today.
Amazing World of Comics. Yes, it is. Hey,
that's today as we're recording this.
There we go.
That's pretty
First,
neat.
First, we got Shark Week done, and now we got a thing of the dates there, whatever word would work there. All right. In this issue, here is what happened. Superman rescues a man from committing suicide, and the guy turns out to be a thief whose straight life has been completely ruined by his gambling. This motivates crusading journalist Clark Kent the next day to visit the police commissioner and urge him to act forcefully against the numbers racketeers and other gambling gangs that are preying on the city. But the commissioner just blows him off. Superman then goes to work, demolishing one illicit casino after another, hospitalizing many low-level thugs and directly threatening death to several gang bosses. One boss calls him some help from his ally, the police commissioner, and what? Superman convincingly threatens both of them with death. They flee the city. Superman then convenes a meeting of all the gambling racketeers and compels each of them to draw a card. He announces that he will kill the holder of the Ace of Spades card unless he immediately leaves Metropolis. Now, that is he, the holder of the card, not he, Superman.
What?
Never to return. Superman has, of course, dealt every single one of them an Ace of Spades, and they all leave town very quickly.
Oh, the irony.
This had some of the most vicious Superman we have had yet. Yeah. He was... The scene that sticks in my mind is the threatening of the punch the dude. And so he punches a hole in the wall on one side of his head, then punches a hole in the wall on the other side of his head and says, okay, now the next one is going right through your head.
Right. He threatens death, I think, more in this issue.
Dude.
And maybe he's done before in all the other issues combined. He's just telling everybody he's going to kill him.
What is Siegel's deal with gambling? Oh, I mean, man. He had it bad. This was a biggie when he sat down to write this, because now, he wrote this one hard.
One thing that I for some reason only just remembered about Siegel, I'm pretty sure it was Jerry Siegel. His father was taken from him during a crime. He almost has half of a Batman's origin story. So I'm sure that has an effect on him. I brought up on a previous episode a book that Brad Meltzer had written that had to do with you know, it's a fiction book, but it has to do, it's almost like a National Treasure or a Da Vinci Code, but with comics and more specifically Superman. It's freaking interesting. He takes a lot of true actual facts and then weaves it into a thrilling adventure. But I think one of the points that he makes in that book is Jerry Siegel, as a teenager, maybe had his father gunned down and taken away from him. And so he creates a superhero who is impervious to bullets.
Okay.
You know, that can't be a coincidence, you know.
Doug, Superman, the thug. No doubt, man. How many times in a movie or TV show have we seen somebody rise to power by just being more thuggish than whoever they're replacing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the one mob is taken over by another mob, or the, you know, the Haitians come in and it's just like, well, at this point, if he chose to, thank you, Ma and Pa Kent, Superman could, he would rule.
Yeah.
And he has proven that he is like, you know, it would only take just this much for him to just say, look, nobody is doing it right. But I can. So I'm just going to do it right.
It's like one of those movies where you have the antagonist and the protagonist. They're all mobsters or involved in crime in some fashion. But the ones you root for, they justify it by they have a certain code. They don't sell drugs.
They
don't hurt kids. You know, it's like you're still breaking the law. But since you're using your criminal know-how to take down the types of criminals who do sell drugs, who do hurt children, who do, you know, the bad crime. Like, we do the good crime, we don't do the bad crime. Right. And that's
we don't do girls. We don't do
right.
It's like no, what you do is justification, though. That's
right.
That's what you do.
That's, you know, that's what we got here. And I was gonna say we're back to another typical Action Comics Superman story. He finds something in society that he feels is wrong and then tears it all down, you know, just literally destroys it, you know.
Let's, excuse me, let's take a look at panel number 6 here, shall we, Stephen?
Okay.
The first gentleman that he encounters is attempting to commit suicide. He has a rope. He's anchored the rope to a tree limb upon which he is standing. He has set the other end of the rope, a noose, around his neck. And in order to hang himself, he has fallen off the limb forward, Now, if he survives the intense attack on the yam bag, he's going to be feeling quite a bit of pain by the time that the neck snaps. Can I tell you? Because dude is going to be hurting because of the way he chose to do this.
Yeah.
That's the very first thing that caught me when I saw that panel. I'm like, how his neck? Oh, wow. Eventually. Yeah. Yeah, eventually it'll tighten around his neck, but the yam bag I think is going to suffer there first.
Yeah, and it's almost like, oh, this better work.
Perhaps for my, that's which is funny because that, you know, that really has nothing to do with what they were trying to portray.
Right.
I'm kind of being nitpicky, but it jumped out at me the way he was falling. I'm like, that's. Yeah, it'll work eventually.
But they do use the moment to observe that Superman runs faster than light.
Yes.
I think they mentioned that either elsewhere in this story or in one of the previous stories.
It would have to be this story because I don't remember him being able to move faster than the speed of light.
It is in this story. It's when he goes to one of the crime boss's house and the guy keeps trying to run out one of the doors.
And he gets there first.
Yeah. Yeah,
which that's an awesome scene. I can see that in my head.
Yeah,
that is a perfect movie scene. Somebody trying to get away, and he runs and blocks runs and blocks another door.
They even have the panel where you see the guy running, and there's wavy lines next to him that's supposed to represent like the disturbance of the air as Superman runs by him so fast.
Yeah,
that was kind of neat.
Yep. Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, there's not necessarily anything new that we've seen as far as how Superman acts. Now, again, he is quite a bit more violent in his threats.
Yes.
In this issue, this strip, than he has probably in any other that we've seen so far.
Yeah.
I mean, he's threatening to kill people. I don't have a particular panel, but those words come out of his mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. More than once.
That he will kill them if they don't, or if they come back, or if they, you know, so it's like, it's coercion of the highest order.
Yeah.
You know, and even before, when he has, like in the, was it the, Ultra Humanite one where he coerced a confession and then gave it to the authorities. And I'm thinking, you know, if they ever really investigate that, it has to be thrown out. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, he told me to, what do you mean he told you to write this?
He told me he'd kill me if I didn't write it.
He snapped my head off like a dandelion if I didn't. So yeah, that's
the only thing I would say about this story that I think takes it to a level a little bit above something like Superman versus the Reckless, you know, Reckless Drivers, is that in the Reckless Drivers story, he's just randomly going around and destroying, you know, first a car lot, then a car factory. And it's almost like he's just randomly choosing spots.
Right.
Whereas in this one, he goes to the gambling establishment first, which was really funny because the other gamblers were really upset with him. Until he shows them that all the games are fixed and then they help him to destroy it. But he starts there and then he moves up each a level. So he goes from there to he gets the name of a guy who runs the gambling establishments or whatever. So he goes to him next. And then from there, he learns the name of a guy who's further up the chain. So at least in this one, while he may not have had a plan because he's super impulsive. Once he started, he formulated a plan and moved up the ladder instead of just going around and randomly destroying things. And then, then he does the whole thing with the deck of cards, tricking gamblers who all probably have, a fixed deck of cards on them.
Right.
The irony of that. Now, I only made two notes.
Okay.
For this issue. Cause I mean, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't my favorite of the three. I noted that in panel 30, hanging from a ledge.
Nope. Okay.
So there's a hanging from the ledge.
Yep. Sure enough, he is looking in the window. Okay.
And then let me get to it. Panel.
All right, everybody. there's be quiet. There's panelologists at work.
Yes.
See what I did there? Yeah. There, okay.
Panel 82. The note I wrote is just happy cops. Because as he's destroying the gambling establishments throughout town, one of the, you know, one of the gambling, the folks that run one of these places calls the cops. Help, police, a lunatic is wrecking my place. And the cop says, ho, ho, it's a pleasure to hear those crooks squeal. Three cheers for Superman.
Which is ironic, because in the very next panel, someone of the same ilk makes a call and says, you promised all of us protection. Yep. You've got to keep your word. I'll expect you here in a few minutes. So it's like, so apparently this one was connected, but this one was not. And come to find out, the phone call essentially went to the same place, just different people.
Yeah, just a different office.
Yeah.
There were a couple of fun moments in it, but I wasn't as impressed. I was with the previous issue, the Superman on the high seas. This one, it's like we go two episodes back with Superman and Superman meets Ultra Humanite.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of the Ultra Humanite coming back, typical so far, very typical Action Comics story. We go from there to this really awesome Superman fighting sharks and throwing submarines type and finding buried treasure and dressing up as a dead sailor to make people think he's a ghost. That was awesome. And then we go back to, Superman doesn't like gambling because this guy tried to commit suicide.
Superman on a crusade to clean up whatever happens to be.
And didn't he, did he threaten that guy? Yes. The guy, I'm assuming it's the same guy that tried to hang himself. He goes to check in on him, and the guy is telling his wife he's done with gambling. He's not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Superman follows him to a barber shop where the guy places a bet. And he threatens him. He goes, quick, hand over your watch. The guy says, a hold up, eh? Which is the second time that is said in this issue. A hold up, eh? That's said earlier. And so he takes his watch and crushes it in his hand, and he tells him, see how easily I crush your watch in my palm? If you don't quit gambling, I'll look you up and give your neck the same treatment.
Dang.
Yeah. And then he goes from there into the barbershop, and that's where he does what you were talking about, where he puts his fist through the wall.
On one side, and then the other side. And
still playing hard to scare. If you don't talk this time, I'll let drive straight at your face. So he's just threatening to kill people all over the place in this this issue. Yep.
That was kidding.
Yeah.
He doesn't bark though, so I.
That's true.
You can't. Unfortunately, you won't be able to cut that out because
that's okay.
I don't know. He just when he goes on these crusades, he seems to. I don't know. It certainly is not the Boy Scout. Mm-mm. You know, I mean, he's doing for the right reason. I don't question that at all.
But because of that, anything he does is fair game. He can do anything.
Anything
he's
goes.
Doing it, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know?
Not anything goes. We truly haven't seen him outright kill anyone.
True.
Now, we have seen him hit people. We have seen him throw them probably very far. And
he killed those sharks in the last issue
by breaking their jaws.
Right,
pried their jaws apart like you would do a T-Rex if you were King Kong.
That's right.
You know, but yeah. I certainly would understand you under any circumstances you cannot show Superman killing someone.
Right.
But if in Superman's action or Superman's inaction, if someone were to expire, then
I feel like that
happened. they're bad guys and they would have come to an end with or without super, I'm sure there's all these in the mind of the writer, these justifications, now you take Superman and you have somebody writing him in the late 60s, early 70s, not for DC, and he's just ripping these people apart. That's what the superhero comic books at times were like then, somebody was given the freedom to just display what it would be like. And that's, that goes all the way on down to today. I mean, you have a television show where they pretty much that's the theme of the show called The Boys. I mean, that's, you know, so.
Yeah, that's like, well, and like Irredeemable. That's kind of the whole concept there.
Yeah, that's
Superman
the whole concept. What if he went bad?
Yep.
Noticed here at the very end an ad for the World's Fair comic, but it doesn't say if this is the first or the second.
No.
The first we've already had, and the second is coming up at the end of 39 or on into 1940. I'm not sure when that one comes out, but one of them is out, and so we don't know which this is. In the previous, which was Action Comics 15, there was an ad for Superman 1.
Yep.
Which
it gave the date.
3 months. 3 months after Superman 1 should have come out. So.
Yeah. And in that ad, it says on sale May 18th.
Yeah. So just, and that pretty much is the extent to any ads that they show in this collection, because they're a panel that finishes the page. Otherwise, I'm sure they wouldn't even show these ads. So they leave one panel at the end of every strip and they put an ad there for something. It was Action Comics 14 that had the Superman ad in it, because I believe 15 had a Batman ad.
Batman and Detective, who was the Comics. Other one?
Was it Hourman?
No. Who is that?
Here, let me look up. Sandman.
Sandman. Okay.
Sandman and Batman. Which Sandman is in Adventure Comics. Batman is in Detective Comics. We're reading Action Comics. So there's three different superhero-y monthly books all together right there.
Yeah.
And that's not – well, no, that may be all that they had right now. Maybe not. I'm not sure. I'd have to look and see. The middle of 1939, the summer of 1939. I'm not sure what other books they had that had, you know, who else would they have had? Green Lantern, Wonder Woman. Some of those other books, I'm not sure if they're coming out yet or not. Anyways, so, nothing else for me for this story.
Me neither. I'll say real quick before we wrap it up, when next we get together, we'll be talking about Superman number 2, and it looks like there might be at least 3 new stories in that. So depending on the length of those stories, that may be 3 episodes. So we'll find out when we start talking about them. But
that could be the next making of is just Superman 2.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this sucker up.
Alrighty. We do want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us a line, ask us a question, or just provide feedback in general, you can send an email to thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. Also, you can reach us on Twitter over at Supes Super Show, SUPS, which I don't know why that's Supes. Wouldn't that be Sups? But anyways. Yeah. Or come join the fun over on the forums at forum.justanotherfanboy.com. Come on, guys. We want to try to get some interaction going there so that we can continue these things that we're talking about here. Which I understand. Steven and I are much more humorous like this than we are in prose. I get that. But we can bring some of that to the prose if you give us a chance.
So extend the talk.
Absolutely. That's what we're after. Yeah. All the links for everything will be in the show notes. And so, everybody out there, until next week. Folks, I'm Ed. That is Steven. And this was the Superman Super Show. Ciao.
Bye.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
I have to admit that sitting here for almost 2 hours, my posterior is starting to hurt. So
lightweight. Get it? Get it?
I think it's more because I'm a heavyweight.
Because you're not a lightweight.
That's right. Okay. So, Doug, if you're still there, Chris, if you're still there, Terry, if you're still there, we will catch you on the flip. The flippity flop.